welcome to the Door of Life Church podcast. Our mission is to share the love of Jesus with the world and believers, to teach them how to walk in victory, and to help them find and fulfill God's plan for their life. If you have any comments about today's podcast, please contact us through our website at dooroflife.org. Door of Life Church, where faith meets real life.
Had a chance to say hello to their neighbor and refresh their coffee. So we're just going to move on here in a minute or two. Thankful for the time of worship we've already had. And Carla, why don't you come on up? We're going to have Carla share this morning. She's been teaching, and this is part training, part of the King's College Bible courses that she's been taking. And so we're always glad to have Carla share. Great insight into the Word of God. She's got a real gift of teaching. And so we're just going to pray and get going with the day. Yeah, it is God. Lord, we're so thankful for this time together just to hear your word. Lord, we just ask that your Holy Spirit would open our hearts to hear what you have to say to us. Beyond what a voice could say, Lord, there's this move of your Spirit and just this working of your Holy Spirit that we are opening ourselves up to today, to hear your truth spoken in love and to allow you, God, to change our hearts and to transform us as we hear the impartation of the revelation of the truth of your word, God. We are asking right now that your anointing be upon Carla as she speaks. Lord, let your words come from her and just give her peace and grace as she teaches, Lord, with this wonderful gift that you've imparted to her. And we are just so thankful for the blessing of this day and for Carla sharing with us. Lord, we're asking this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Well, what an appropriate prayer, because that's what I'm going to be talking about today, is the Holy Spirit. And normally, when I've talked in the past, I've prepared a PowerPoint. You have the Bible verses in front of you. And a little bit different today, because I really just have one word to share with you. And that is revival. And that's what we're going to be talking about today. As many of you know, our precious daughter, Camille, we have two precious daughters and a precious son-in-law and a precious grandbabies. Okay, I'll just keep on going with that. And dog, did we say? Well, we're not so sure about that one. But okay, thank you, Lord, for Pippin. Okay, I think. Anyway, Camille was called to Los Angeles. And she, you know, what comes to mind is one of the first things that is taught to us in the university that I attend is that we're all ministers. Every one of you are a minister. You may be a mechanic, you may be a doctor, you may be a pilot, you may cut the grass, but you're a minister first. And so I refer to Camille as being a minister, and God called her to Los Angeles in January, and we are very blessed to have her with us for a week. We had a wedding yesterday. I'm pretty darn excited to have her home. And one of the reasons I'm especially excited is that she's actually going to get up and talk today, too. She was able to be a part of a wonderful event on April 9th, 2016. She was in the LA Coliseum with approximately 120,000 other people worshiping God. And it was the distinct 110th anniversary of the Azusa Street Revival. And so my portion here this morning is, if you've never heard of the Azusa Street Revival, well, I've got a few things to share with you to just, you know, the history of it, what happened, very general, and I'll try to be brief because I want to give her time to talk and not get us too long into the day because I could really talk about this for a long, long time. So therefore, kind of left the PowerPoint behind. Just want to let the Holy Spirit just, Holy Spirit, I am trusting you to just speak through me, to speak through Camille. It's a special morning for me to speak with my daughter and to just talk about you. Thank you, Lord. First of all, I just want to say, what is revival? What does the word revival even mean? And I looked it up, and of course it takes it to the root word, which is revive. And the word revive means to bring back to life, to restore. And Charles Spurgeon, you know, wonderful, wonderful historical icon of the Christian movement, Spurgeon said this: the word revive wears its meaning upon its forehead. It's from the Latin and may be interpreted thus: to live again, to receive again a life which has almost expired, to rekindle into a flame the vital spark which was nearly extinguished. And on that note, we're just going to go into some scripture, kind of taking us up to the Azusa Street Revival. And then I want to give you the history of the Azusa Street Revival as the Holy Spirit prompts me this morning. And then I'm just trusting God to prompt Camille in the wonderful healings. And you know what? I'll be quiet right now because I'm going to give away. I'll let you talk about that. Okay. All right. So the first verse that the Lord gave to me this week as I was just contemplating what we were going to be talking about today was this. And it's in the Old Testament. It's in Ezekiel. Ezekiel 36. It says this: I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do them. Then you shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers. You shall be my people, and I will be your God. Then on to Joel 2:28-32. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. And also on my men servants and on my maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days. And I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. So after Joel speaks this, we're talking about 800 years pass. Okay? And during those 800 years, well, the Holy Spirit does fill certain people, prophets. Whenever God needed to speak a word, he filled, you know, a person with his Holy Spirit. But it wasn't universal. It was just as he needed to speak through people to get his message out to his people. But then came the day of Pentecost. And previous to that, Jesus is preparing his disciples. I'm going back to heaven. The day's coming when we're going to part. But he said this in John 16. He said, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It's to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you." And he did. And there's where I just want to start reading out of scripture here, out of my Bible. I just sometimes feel, I've got to open that old Bible here. Acts 2. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And please take note of that, because that's going to come around again. They were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as a fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And I'm just going to sneak over to verse 14 then, where after this experience, Peter, remember Peter, he's the one that denied Jesus 3 times. Okay, but now Peter, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said to them, "Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my words. For these are not drunk, as you suppose, since it is only the 3rd hour of the day. But this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out of my Spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. And on my men servants and on my maid servants, I will pour out my Spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood, before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." And now I'm going to skip over to verse 38. Then Peter said to them, "Repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Here's another key verse. "For the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call." So now what? We have, any of us that have called on Jesus, we have that promise. We have the gift of the Holy Spirit. If you've asked Jesus into your heart, you have the Holy Spirit in you. But what's the next step? What are you going to do? The Holy Spirit, you are a temple of the Holy Spirit. What are you going to do with the Holy Spirit in you? Are you going to keep on living life? And this is not to condemn, this is to encourage you, please. Or are you just going to let him work through you? Are you going to yield to the Holy Spirit? Are you going to allow him to bless you and bless others through you? So at this point in time, the church is empowered. Okay, that's the first century church. And I'm doing a real fast forward here because I want to get to the beginning of the 20th century and the Azusa Street Revival. Pastor Bill Johnson of Bethel Church in California, he refers to the Azusa Street Revival as the root system of the Pentecostal movement. It has brought more people into the kingdom than any other revival in history. But Here's some history, and I am going to read it. I actually have had to write three different papers on this, and so I'm bringing it together and hope that the history will just help you and bless you and lead into what Camille has to say to you. In the late 1890s, an Italian nun, Blessed Alina Guerrara, wrote several confidential letters to Pope Leo XIII, pressing him to, and I quote, lead the faithful to rediscover a life lived according to the Holy Spirit, unquote. In response, the Pope wrote an encyclical, which was just a papal letter to all the bishops in the Roman Catholic Church, on the Holy Spirit. He also requested that all bishops pray the novena for Pentecost at the dawn of the 20th century. On January 1st, 1901, Pope Leo dedicated the 20th century to the Holy Spirit, singing the hymn, and I don't know how to pronounce Latin very well, but Veni Creator Spiritus, come Holy Spirit, Creator blessed. Well, on that exact same day, halfway around the world, other voices were simultaneously lifted in prayer, asking for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Charles Parham and his small band of students sought the Holy Spirit, specifically seeking the same experience of the disciples in Acts 2, which I just read to you, receiving Holy Spirit empowerment with the evidence of speaking in tongues. Well, one of Parham's students, Agnes Osman, was the first to begin speaking in tongues. Parham and the others soon after also received this Holy Spirit empowerment. Well, Parham traveled the country and eventually found his way to Houston, Texas. And he opened up a Bible school for training missionary evangelists. And it was there that a man by the name of William Seymour, hungry for the things of God, intrigued by Parham's Holy Spirit teachings, attempted to enroll in Parham's school. There was just one problem. Seymour was a black man. And in those days, you legally had to obey the Jim Crow laws, which forbade Seymour's entry into the school. It didn't matter if Parham wanted him there or not. Legally, he could not be in the same classroom as other white people. Skirting around the racist law, Parham allowed Seymour to listen from the hallway through the open door of the classroom. Seymour, the son of former slaves, now he's born in 1870, 1865, his parents are freed, so he is a son of former slaves. Well, he eventually received an invitation to pastor a small holiness mission in Los Angeles. And Seymour stated, and I quote, I prayed to God to give what Parham preached, the real Holy Ghost in fire with tongues, with love and power of God, like the apostles had. Well, he got to his little holiness mission in Los Angeles, and he preached his first message on the Holy Spirit right out of Acts, what I just read to you. By that night, however, though he was locked out of his church and out of his ministry, they weren't quite ready to hear about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. However, sympathetic church members gave him lodging, and it was at their home, which still stands as a museum, on 214 North Bonnie Bray Street, that Seymour began conducting prayer meetings. Well, that group began a 10-day fast and a time of intense prayer. And on Monday, April 9th, 1906, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit began. Well, word got around, and people started to show up, and eventually so many people filled that house, tried to get in on what was going on, that the front porch reportedly actually collapsed. And so the growing group then secured an old rundown ramshackle warehouse building at 312 Azusa Street. And what began was what became known as the Azusa Street Revival. The Azusa Street Revival began with blacks, Latinos, whites, Asians, the rich and the poor, immigrants and natives, young and old, male and female, educated and uneducated, coming together under one roof as one body, worshiping God, receiving and operating in the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and spreading the gospel. Frank Bartleman, journalist and participant in the revival, described it this way, and I quote, "The color line was washed away in the blood. The cleansing blood of Jesus washed away racial prejudice. It washed away cultural as well as socioeconomic barriers. At a time when women could not even vote, there were 7 women on the original board of directors, 2 of whom were black, and 1 of whom would become Seymour's wife. And there were also 4 white men and Seymour also on the board. The unity on Azusa Street provided a modern-day visual of Galatians 3:28, which says, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. It was a return to the New Testament church, the apostolic age, with immersion in the Holy Spirit, his works, and his power. The revival promoted the restoration of New Testament Christianity, including the signs, wonders, miracles, spiritual gifts, so important to the spread of the gospel. Seymour was convinced that the work of the Holy Spirit was simply to bring together all races and nations into one universal family through divine love. According to Seymour, and again I quote, "The Pentecost power, when you sum it all up, it's just more of God's love. If it does not bring more love, it's simply a counterfeit. Pentecost means to live right in the 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians, as we know is the love chapter, which is the standard. When you live there, you have no trouble to keep salvation. This is Bible religion. It's not manufactured religion. Pentecost makes us love Jesus more and love our brothers more. It brings us all into one common family." And it was also a time of repentance. Again, in 1906, the Jim Crow segregation laws dictated the social norms. It was against the law for a black man to even offer a handshake to a white man. How shocking, then, to walk into that ramshackle building at 312 Azusa Street and see black hands resting on the head of a white person in prayer. G.B. Cashwell, a white pastor and holiness leader in North Carolina, he came to Los Angeles to get a closer look at the new Pentecost. He cringed when a young black man touched him while praying for him. Well, after several days of wrestling with his own racist attitudes, Cashwell asked Seymour to pray for him. In submission to God, Cashwell received his, as he called it, Pentecostal experience, and went on to become the Apostle of Pentecost to the South. And as Cashwell took Pentecost back to the South, others were coming to Azusa Street and taking what became known as the Pentecostal movement home with them to different parts of the country and beyond. Through such means as word of mouth, secular newspapers, through the writings of holiness journalist Frank Bartleman, and the mission's own publication, The Apostolic Faith, the Holy Spirit message not only raced across the nation, but it raced around the world. According to Pentecostal historian Vincent Sinan, he says the historical record shows that throughout the United States, Europe, Asia, Latin America, and Africa, the first reports of the new movement claimed that it began in Los Angeles under an African-American pastor. Such persons as Jack Hayford credit the revival as the most globally impacting event since the birth of the church. The Pentecostal movement eased into the healing movement of the 1940s with such icons as Oral Roberts. There was the Latter Rain movement of the 1950s, the Holy Spirit outpouring then entered the mainline churches. Less than 20 miles from Azusa Street, Dennis Bennett, an Episcopalian pastor, received the gift of the Holy Spirit. He began the renewal of the baptism of the Holy Spirit and the charismatic gifts. It was a Lutheran minister, however, Harold Bredesen, who actually named the renewal, as probably what we're more familiar with is, the charismatic movement. To give you an idea, as of 2012, there were over 120 million charismatic Catholics. John Doiker, chairman of coordinators for the Catholic Charismatic Renewal in Melbourne, Australia, states that, and I quote, "Virtually everything that is a part of the movement is evident in the history of Christianity. Miracles, healings, speaking in tongues, prophecies, and other wonders." Does that sound familiar? Doesn't that statement represent the Pentecostal charismatic movement in general? Monsignor Vincent Walsh stated that, quote, "Hopefully, someday, experiencing the baptism of the Spirit, exercising charismatic gifts, and praying together in a community will be the normal experience of every Catholic and the pattern of life of every parish." Again, isn't that the hope of every person who includes themselves as a Pentecostal or charismatic believer? Fast forward to April 9th, 2016, the 110th anniversary of the Azusa Street Revival. Now it's called Azusa Now, and it took place at the Los Angeles Coliseum. And Camille was there. And I'm going to follow up after you talk, but I'm going to let you tell now what you experienced at the Los Angeles Coliseum, Azusa Now, 110 years to the day later. I love you. Grab up.
Is it on? Okay. Hi, I'm Camille, for those who don't know. Hold on. Okay, I don't know where it is. I'm just going to talk. But so I got to go to this event, and basically the only way that I knew about it was through Facebook and a friend. It was advertised a little bit, and I told my mom about it, and then she freaked out because she knows all about Azusa back in the day. And so a friend of mine, he knew about it, and we just got tickets, and a few of us went. And I didn't know what to expect because I've never been to an event like this before. But basically, we got there at about 6 in the morning. We woke up real early and got there, and there was so many people just waiting to get into the Coliseum. And the cool thing is the LA Coliseum is at the USC campus, and it held the 32 and 84 Olympics back in the day. So it was just so cool because basically how I would describe the event was like half the day was praying for our country and the nations, and then the other half was kind of just like worship and still praying, and just there's a lot of healings and everything, so I'll kind of get into that a little bit. But so we finally got in there, and just like different people were pouring in. And so it started off with, when we were there, I think it was the Korean church that was praying and just singing in like their language and stuff. And that kind of jump started different nations praying for each other. It was so cool because there was representatives from different countries like Israel and Iran that prayed together just for healing of their countries and like the oppression and everything. There was Turks and Armenians that were praying together. just different, they made sure that just different countries that had issues with each other, I guess, that prayed together. And it was just so cool watching. They brought Native Americans onto stage that performed this beautiful ceremony, and just for praying for our country in general, because we we took it from them. And so it was just kind of a lot of praying of forgiveness, just for over our whole country and world. And the cool thing was, too, is as this event was going on, there was a similar event going on in Washington, D.C., and also, I think, Lexington, and none of them knew that the other one was going on. So basically, from coast to coast, in the middle of, like, the nation, like, all of us were gathered together and praying for revival of this nation and of the world in general. So it was really cool just witnessing that, and we live-streamed between like Los Angeles and Washington and prayed together across the nation. So it was so cool. I'm kind of bringing like stories to mind. But there was a lot of healings going on as well. There was an area right actually in front of where I was, where a lot of people were in wheelchairs that like handicap accessible to see the stage. And there was one woman who I think they were praying for her like the whole day, but she eventually got out of her wheelchair and like started, she wasn't necessarily walking, but she was standing, and she hadn't gotten out of her wheelchair in like 23 years. And I was like, I've never seen something like that. You always hear about that in like other countries to begin with too. So it was so cool seeing that. And the whole day too, it was raining, which if you know Southern California, that doesn't happen much. And I noticed, too, it's like every time something would happen, like, big, or, like, if there was a prayer or something, it would just start pouring rain. And I think that was a theme of the day, too, is just, like, the outpouring of God over our nation and over California itself. Because for Los Angeles, it's such an area of influence over the world. Like, if you talk to foreign people or anything, it's like they're like, I want to go to Los Angeles and I want to go to New York. I'm like, cool, I've never been there, but now I have. So it was just so cool. Like, it was God just like speaking, like that he's like here and his presence is here and he's pouring out over the nation. I'm gonna kind of refresh my memory on some stories here, but oh, that was another thing. Okay, so we prayed a lot for inner city as well. And the uncle of Michael Brown, I think that started the whole Ferguson riots in Missouri, he came on stage and prayed a prayer of forgiveness for that. And so we just covered like every area, which was just so cool. Remembering different things. Let me see here. But this is different stories brought up. During our time of worship, there was a guy that would come up, and he kind of gave word of knowledge for different things. And then also, if anybody knows who Heidi Baker is, she's an amazing woman. And I was, when I saw her on stage, I freaked out because I've followed her since college, and that was the first time that I heard about her, and she's amazing. She has an orphanage that she runs in Mozambique, I think it is. And basically, they just pray every day for like even food to be put out for these kids. Like, she is a living version of like the two fish, five loaves thing. Like, she prays every day and just food is multiplied. She's an amazing human being. But she was just calling out different things on stage. And there was one, at one point there was, they called out spirits of suicide. And they're like, I know this is awkward to like raise your hand that you're considering suicide, but they're like, if you would just like feel comfortable, if you're dealing with this, just to raise your hand. And there was a woman like right by me. She was probably early 20s, and she just raised her hand, and all of us were praying for her. And it was just like, I've never had something like that where it's like, you're dealing with suicide, like you're dealing with these things. And so we just prayed for her. And then I had the privilege of praying for a friend, and it was so simple. Like, she just had she had knee surgery before, but it was one of those where it's like the nerves are in the wrong place. It's like you touch one part of your knee and you feel it in another part. But I was just like, okay, like, let's pray for it. And so I like prayed for it. And then after a while, she was just like, it's fine. Like, she felt it in the right place. And I was like, what? Because I've just never had an experience like that where like God used me to heal somebody like physically. And so it was just so cool being able to experience that in general. And so like we went through the whole day. We were there until I left probably at 10 at night. And so we were there for a good 13, 14 hours just in the rain worshiping God. And it was so cool. And at the end, Daniel Kalenda came up. He's an evangelist who is mostly in Africa, and he has these revivals that's like millions of people. If you see pictures, it's incredible. Okay, yeah, Reinhard Bonnke. Basically his, his runner-up guy, the next guy. Yeah, I don't know what you call it. Yeah. So he spoke, and he was saying he's never seen something like this in America, where people are willing to stand in the rain all day long worshiping God and just seeing these healings and everything. And as the day went on, like, the Colosseum filled more and more. And it was so cool to me, too, because I mentioned that the Olympics were held there in, like, 32 and 84, and that was, like, all the countries are represented there. And so it's, like, that day we got to pray for all those countries and just for revival throughout the world. And I felt privileged, too, because, like Mom said, I was called to Los Angeles in January, and it just so happened that this was happening, like, the Azusa Now was happening while I was there, and I got to experience it, and I got to kind of see a glimpse of why I'm in Los Angeles, because it is such a heavy influence on the world because of the entertainment industry and because of media. It just, we're kind of the voice for like the rest of the world. So if we can change, impact media that way, we can impact the world. Like, I think a lot that's going to happen in Los Angeles. You can feel a change in the atmosphere there. Just even being there, like, different people have said it. More people are open to God and faith films. Like, you see more companies being successful with that. Like, it's really cool being there. So just being able to be in that place at that time when I know that I'm supposed to be there was just so cool. And being able to pray for the nation and the world and just different people, it gave me kind of a glimpse of, like, why I'm there. And it's been amazing. And even, like, during the offering, I gave away, like, my last cent, which was really scary. But I felt like I needed to do it. And granted, it really wasn't that much anyway. But it was, like, it was so freeing. Like, the rest of the day, I was like, dang, like, I have $0 in my bank account. Like, this is great. I don't know, like, if that's a normal feeling, but but it just was so freeing that I was like, I just gave my money to God and was like, I'm out here. And, like, he basically, before I went out there, I was like, I have this amount of student loans. I have, like, rent is this amount of money. And I was like, you need to help me out here, God. And so he just promised that he would provide for me and just take care of me while I was out there. And he definitely has, even as I gave away my last dollar. So that was kind of, for me, it was like, okay, like, I give you my bank account, like, you have full control over it. And since then, I'm fine. I'm surviving. But just even one day, I guess this is kind of going away from Azusa a little bit, but okay. But there was one day where I had, like, again, the second time where I had $0 in my bank account, and it's like, I have rent, I have, like, loans coming up that I have to pay, all this stuff, and I was like, God, like, you told me you'd provide for me. This is your moment to shine, please. Like, so, and like at that moment, I got this paycheck that I'd been waiting for forever, and I got a job offer that I'm actually at right now full time. And honestly, a lot of people that go out to Los Angeles, they don't get full time jobs for like 6 months to a year, and I got this like in 3 months. And it's in the field that I want, which is also very rare. So I've just been so blessed to be able to work in the area that I want and to just kind of start growing, getting up the ladder and everything. And it's just purely God. There's literally no other way, because I probably could have left by now. But and I don't know how to bring this back to Azusa, but basically God's great. so... But it's just been, it was amazing experiencing this, and it's something that I never experienced before, and I kind of felt like you hear about this in, like, Africa and other countries, but you never hear about it in America, and it's just so beautiful that it's starting now, and people are open to just bringing the gospel and just revive this nation, and that people are actually taking the time to like press in and making this nation great, because we are a huge influence on the world. And I'm just privileged that I get to be a part of it in Los Angeles, in such a place of influence. And yeah, I love it. So
thank you.
You're welcome.
I'll turn it off and put it there.
Thank you.
Okay, so I'm just gonna finish up here too. On the day of Azusa Now, they also live streamed it. And unfortunately, I had a huge paper due, so I didn't get to watch it. But there was one moment, and of course the founder of my university was actually speaking, and Camille texted me and said, "Mom, you know, he's on. So I thought, oh, okay, I'll quick, you know, watch that little excerpt. And I actually caught the tail end of him. But what was so beautiful to me was that a black man was stood up, and basically his words to anyone listening, and again, this is live streamed all over. It wasn't just people that were there, the 120,000 there, but it was all over the world being live streamed. He basically said, you know, we as black people, yeah, we've suffered. We've suffered in this country. We came here as slaves. But it's time to forgive. And also don't feel singled out, because there is not a people group on the face of this earth that has not felt discrimination. And so the beautiful part was they showed this clip. They had huge screens, and they showed a clip of the Holocaust, and they showed a clip of Sudan, and they showed a clip of Rwanda, and they showed just even not only that, but they showed denominations, you know, being discriminated against. And basically he said, it's time to forgive, because you're not the only one. And so it's time to forgive. And it was so interesting. I remember the day after, and that's the only clip I got to see, the day after, Pastor Ed preached on forgiveness. It was like, oh, okay, this is cool, you know. And it just, and then I think you said too, your pastor in California on that Sunday preached on forgiveness. And there's just this resounding theme. I know I wasn't able to be here last weekend, but I did listen to Pastor Ed's message this week, and I know it was about love. And I know it was about imitating God. And what does that look like? Love. Love. I had to interview Pastor Ed. He's been, the poor man, I've put him through some things where I've had to interview somebody for a school project or whatever. So I, would you mind if I interview you again for this project? You know, so he's been so gracious. But the thing that keeps coming back from Pastor Ed is just that, Carla, it always comes back to love. It always comes back to love. And anybody that has heard him at any point, no matter what Pastor Ed preaches about, it's always filled with love, and it always comes back to love. And isn't that what we're about? It's about love. Love, love, love. So with that in mind, I want to read Romans 8:11, which says, "But if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you," and I'm here to tell you He does, "He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you." Whatever He brings you to, you can do it. You can do it because His Holy Spirit is in you. The Holy Spirit is not an it. The Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity. He is equally Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Three in one. The Holy Spirit is in you. What you're called to, you are a minister. Every one of you, whether you feel like it or not, you're a minister. You can do it. You can do it. I love this little phrase that I didn't... Oh, sorry, my earring is clicking, isn't it? Oh, well, okay. This little phrase, I don't know who I can credit to for this, but whoever said it this way: without Him, the Holy Spirit, we cannot. And without us, He, the Holy Spirit, will not. So we are key. The Holy Spirit works through us. He works through each one of you. You are key. I am key. We are all key to what is going on in such places as Los Angeles. And I find it interesting that as God brought the message of that Holy Spirit empowerment, that, you know what, you do have the Holy Spirit in you, as that raced around the world, it's interesting to note that in LA, again, there seems to be these rumblings, and it's wonderful. So to this I say, it's time for revival. Time, once again, to rekindle into a flame the vital spark, which was nearly extinguished. It is time to once again break down the racial barriers, the cultural barriers, the socioeconomic barriers. But it's also time to break down the denominational barriers. And I know that, Camille, I didn't get to witness this myself, but I remember you saying that a Catholic priest came on stage with an evangelical. Really? So there were different denominations represented, and they came together on stage at Azusa. Catholics and evangelicals. Yep. They came together and said, "We're one in Christ. We are one in Christ. And it's time to break down those barriers." So one other thing. As much as we want revival, we need to come together in unity. That's when the Holy Spirit can work. So as Lou Engel, who was one of the main persons that brought together this whole Azusa Now, he put it this way: it is only a united church that can heal a divided nation. And you know what? We're feeling it this year. We're in an election year. And you know what? It's just the way the election year always comes about, doesn't it? I don't think that it's anything new. It's just that election years, we tend to, you know what? And we're to the point where, you know, we're looking at our possible candidates for the presidency. And you know what? It doesn't matter what you feel about each one of them. This is about God. You know what? God's, whoever is put in that presidency this year, the end of this year, actually the beginning of next year, to be technical, it's God. It's God. But we have a role. We've got the Holy Spirit in us, remember? So we're praying. We're praying up whoever God chooses to allow to be our leader. We pray now. We pray then. We don't stop praying. And we do it together. There is one last passage that I want to read. And then I asked Dave and Jody again to just come up and sing a particular song that'll go along with this. And it's kind of it's probably a strange passage, but not strange for where I want to go with this. And I'm actually going to read out of Ezekiel 37. And the little title for that chapter is "The Dry Bones Live." Okay? So this is what I want to leave you with. the hand of the Lord came upon me and brought me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, and it was full of bones. Then he caused me to pass by them all around, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and indeed they were dry. And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? So I answered, O Lord God, you know. Again he said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. And thus says the Lord God to these bones, surely I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. I will put sinews on you and bring flesh upon you, cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, and suddenly a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to bone. Indeed, as I looked, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them over, but there was no breath in them. Also he said to me, prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath came into them, and they lived and stood upon their feet, an exceedingly great army. Then he said to me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They indeed say, our bones are dry, our hope is lost, and we ourselves are cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, thus says the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up from your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. Then you shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up from your graves. I will put my spirit in you, and you shall live, and I will place you in your own land. Then you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, says the Lord. As I was reading that, I just thought of the song that we sing quite often up here. And it's actually, the title is Great Are You, Lord. But we just keep singing over and over, it's your breath in our lungs. One of the verses is even, these bones will sing, great are you, Lord. So I want to leave you with Dave and Jody just singing that song, leading us in song. And to that I say, in the words of Pope Leo XIII, Veni Creator Spiritus, come Holy Spirit, come.
Give life, you are love, you bring light to the darkness, you bring hope, you restore every heart that is broken. Great are you. Darkness, you give hope, you restore every heart that is broken. Great are you, Lord, so great. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise, we pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise, we pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise. We pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise to you only. Shout your praise. Our hearts will cry. These bones will sing. Great are you, Lord. All the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry. These bones will sing. Great are you. Shout your praise. Our hearts will cry. These bones will sing. Great are you, Lord. All the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry. These bones will sing. So we pour out our praise, we pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise, we pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise, we pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise to you only. Oh, great are you, Lord. Oh, so
Lord, you are great. There is no God like you. And the work you're doing in this earth today, the impact of your Spirit on the hearts of men. God, as we humble ourselves and cry out to you and we pray and we intercede on the behalf of our nation and people groups, and we cry out for healing among the nations, God. We're so desirous, God, to see your Spirit poured out as we pour out our praise to you, God, that you would pour out your Spirit upon all flesh, just as you have promised in Scripture. God, we say, do it. God, let your Spirit pour in our little corner of Door County. God, we ask that your Spirit would pour upon the nationalities here, upon the people groups, upon the socioeconomic layers of our region. God, we ask for your Spirit to pour out upon all flesh. Lord, that there would be a glory of God that arises upon your people. And there would be a burning flame that lives would come to see. Eyes would be opened to the love of God poured out upon us, through us, to them. Lord, we're so desirous to see you move. We're so desirous, God, to experience that as a culture. But Lord, I just pray that it would happen in our hearts, each one individually. Lord, that we would respond to your Holy Spirit in just the simple ways that you've called each and every single one of us to respond to you. And Lord, let that revival begin in each heart this morning. Lord, let it just be stirred inside of us that we will not walk out the same or even look at life the same again. But even as we're walking through the store, we're just living life and in contact with people, God, that we would understand the purpose and the calling and the revival that you have personally called us to walk in, to know you, and to love the ones that you've placed around us, God. Lord, we just say, let it be. Let it be. Let it start, God. Thank you, Lord. You know, there's a great thing that happens when we hear something about revival. When I was in Bible school, I heard a lot about it. The director of our school, man, he just was all about just revival, just desiring to see revival. And it just starts here. It's not a movement that happens with a group of people and all of a sudden something ignites. There is a stirring in our hearts that brings those things together. And you have an Azusa now that happens, not because a group of people decide to get together and somehow God's going to do something, but there's a stirring in a person's heart that says, I want to go there. I want to be a part of what God's doing, but I want him to do it in me first. I want it to start in my heart. And I do appreciate how Pastor Ed, Sunday after Sunday, just keeps bringing it back to the love of Jesus. When we allow that love of Jesus, first of all, to just experience it, to take it in, and let him love us, and then we start loving him back, there's a natural outflow of life that starts to happen as we just open up our hearts, not only to his love, but to let it flow through us to other people around us. God so loved the world. As my wife and I have been talking, she's just been thinking on this theme. Even this world, 2016, he didn't just love the world right at the time that he sent Jesus. 2016, our culture, our nation, our issues, God so loved the world that he gave his only son. His response to the trouble in the world, his response to the turmoil in the world, his response to the issues of our day, the best thing he could do was the best thing that he did, and that was to send Jesus. That is the solution. It is the ultimate answer to what we need, what we can experience and take with us. So let's do that. Let's take that with us. I appreciate that word from Carla this morning, and just that stirring in our hearts to let revival happen in our hearts. Thank you, Lord.